if you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of?
69, dudes!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 69 of the Classic League Gaming and Electronic Podcast. My name is Tony One-Fourth, a very big one-fourth of the Classic League team, and I'm here with my friend Gooch. What's up, Gooch?
Kneel before Zod!
That's what's up.
I'm sorry, Zod. What's up, Zod?
Nothing. Just getting a little, you know, getting kneeling in. Need everyone to kneel for me.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Kneel before Zod has become the official slogan of the Classic League podcast. So we are MIA on critical failure. Scott is still out, and we haven't even published episode 68 yet, which is pretty sad. But hey, we're busy, and we're trying. So anyways, we're back, and me and Gooch keeping the fort keeping the fort protected, keeping the fort...
Holding down the fort?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. You're right. Holding down the fort with episode 69. Last week on episode 68, we did have Kaylee Powis, the 8-bit girl. Make sure you listen to that episode and check out our interview with her. It was really cool. Her blog is just taking off, man. So she said she had like over 3,000 hits today. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you were telling me the American McGee stuff, which I mean definitely would pull in a whole lot of hits, you know, if you talk to a person that influential, you know?
Yeah. So I'm excited that we were able to get the interview with her, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. She was really nice. So, but heading into announcements, if you haven't realized, Classic League now has a new website. So it's pretty awesome. Me and the Gooch pulled a couple late nights, mainly him doing all the awesome tweaking, but we were able last weekend to get the new website up. So, Gooch, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, it's the same address, classicleet.com. We didn't change hosts or anything, but a complete revamp for the template. It is now a much more streamlined, intuitive blog interface. We've got a slider at the top. We've got, you know, of course, the homepage, a contact page, a featured video on the website. We're going to start putting up articles and all the videos and podcasts. Everything is just going to be on this one page. It is a one-stop shop for Classic Elite. And then we've also got links to the partners of the show, and it's an ongoing process. We're going to keep adding and innovating. And we welcome, you know, criticism and suggestions. I'm pumped, and I feel like I'm sounding like an infomercial for the new ClassicLeet.com.
And to be honest, we had enough damn criticism after the merger, so just keep it to yourself and say it looks awesome. So
that's right. You got to shut your pie holes.
Yes, but we are excited because, yeah, the new website is just really neat. We found a template. We uploaded it. We tweaked the HTML. You can, yeah, just do all sorts of social media. It just kind of feels like everything's in one place and not really spread out, which is kind of nice. So, and check out Gooch's new Dark Souls article on there. It's pretty awesome. So,
yeah, pretty pumped. I'll talk about the ball crushing difficulty later, but yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's all right.
Now it's time for one of our favorite segments. I can't do the DB, but I'll try. In the news!
In the news! You know what I need to do? I need to cue up that sound. Like, I need to record him saying it and put the music behind it.
Yeah, because what if he's ever in an accident or something and we need someone to say that? I'm just kidding.
I know, I mean...
Sorry.
I mean,
sorry,
if he dies, we have no way to do it.
Get that on record. We need that recorded. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, we miss you, DB. You're MIA, buddy. You won't even respond to our text. Come on, man. So...
No, I even sent him racy photos.
Oh, man. Don't send me those.
No problem.
But
no problem.
In the news, what do we got here, Gooch? What do we got? Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, is that right?
Yes, and it's for real this time. It's coming in the form of a 4-player co-op mission structure. Players get to choose a character, combine forces using their own unique weapons and abilities to liberate areas from enemy control. The mode is completely optional, and so far as what we understand, it's not required to get the quote-unquote best ending to the game. it's crazy because they've announced, you know, you hear rumors, I shouldn't say announcements, there are rumors Mass Effect 3 has multiplayer. Then BioWare comes in and says, no, it doesn't. And then people say, yes, it does. And they say, no, it doesn't. And now they just completely, you know, flip that on its head and said, oh, yes, yes, it does have multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, we forgot we built that in.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's really, that's cool because, you know, like I've talked about competitive multiplayer before, and it's one of those things that's like, you know, in my stage of life, I'm not into competitive multiplayer that much, but I still enjoy it. I still enjoy multiplayer. And so this kind of reminds me, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds a little bit like what they did in Uncharted 2 on the PS3, where you could kind of do these, like obviously that game had competitive multiplayer, but you could do these three-person missions, which, you know, were like several segments of the story mode that you would play through together with two of your friends. Is that kind of what it was like?
Yeah, that's definitely, and that's, it definitely sounds like what they're doing with Mass Effect 3 here. I think it's just crazy because Uncharted, given the nature of that game, it seems like it lent itself much more to multiplayer than a game like Mass Effect 3 that, you know, has big roots in role-playing.
Well, and I think it's good that they're just not making a competitive multiplayer mode. I think that's kind of the overused trend. I think it's neat that they kind of keep it the story-driven RPG, but add in multiplayer elements more so than multiplayer modes, I would say, for the ability to, you know, join up with friends and, you know, expand the gameplay a little bit. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, as a side note, I got to think about this real quick. Do you still own Uncharted 2?
No, I don't.
Damn, I was going to say we could play some multiplayer.
Shoot,
but, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I actually spent the hell out of that game. So when I had it, like, man, I'll definitely be getting Uncharted 3 on day one. But when I had Uncharted 2, I was just like, man, I played so much freaking multiplayer. It wasn't even funny. So, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was cool. So. Also, it looks like downloadable titles for the PlayStation Vita might be cheaper than their physical copies. Currently, the pricing model is only happening in Japan, but they're looking at, what was that, Uncharted Golden Abyss?
Yeah, that's the one of the big titles for it.
Okay. What were you saying about the downloadable price for that one?
Yeah, well, it's crazy. Like, this is in Japan, so we don't know if it's definite or not, but, you know, currently the game is going to be $77, or the equivalent, you know, $77 with the yen ratio, whatever, at retail, $77, and $63 as a downloadable title. So while the, you know, the pricing stuff hasn't been confirmed for the US, it would be pretty sweet if downloadable titles are cheaper than the retail copies, because, you know, logically, you think that's the way it should be, given the fact that they don't have to factor in, you know, the manufacturing and the shipping and the retailers.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's I'm really excited to, or I'm going to be really interested more to see what happens with the Nintendo 3DS and the PlayStation Vita over the next 2 years, because they're coming into a market like they've never come into before. You know, and so like they're coming into a market where mobile gaming is for real on other platforms, you know, like the iPhone, the Android devices. And with every season of new iPhones and new Android devices, we have stronger processors, more RAM. You know, I saw a Android phone the other day that like shoots 3D video. It's got a dual core processor, a gigabyte of RAM, which is higher than the iPad 2, even. I mean, that's a beast of a little device, you know? And so, like, Nintendo, I think Nintendo and Sony are so used to owning the portable market that they just kind of take their time in getting their devices out there. They kind of set whatever prices they want. You know, now they're coming into a mobile market where, in reality, the 3DS and the PlayStation Vita by, you know, next February, March, April, whatever it may be, might be completely outdated from a hardware perspective of other mobile devices. The other thing that I wonder about is the price points on these games. I mean, I know that the prices you listed where it was, you know, high for Japan, but, you know, if they sell a game for $40 retail and then it's, you know, $30 to download the title, that's still really higher than any iPhone or Android game.
Oh, by far. But I don't know. It's like they expect people, you know, the niche that they're going into with these dedicated handheld consoles is, you know, they expect the hardcore gamers to jump in there and pay that $40 because that's what they've done in the past. You know, they're going to say, you know, this is a higher quality production. This is going for a different market. But when you boil down to it, think about like the video reviews you've done on the iPad. I mean, you can play a full version of, you know, Tiger 12 on the iPad that looks phenomenal, plays fantastic, and you can get that for what, like at the most $5 to $10 for most of those games.
Yeah, I think it was like $12 for that one or something. Okay, yeah,
12. But then you could go on the other hand and go pay $40 for the, you know, the Vita or DS, whatever they're gonna have, DS, 3DS, or you know, 3DS 5.0 with 6 analog nubs. It's just there's no comparison. I mean, because you already own the iPad, you don't have to pay extra for Wi-Fi. There's no other packages or random things you're paying for. You know, you just pay an extra $12 to something you already own and have an awesome game. And you can use it on multiple devices. That game might actually work on your iPhone, your iPad, and something else.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So I think the 3DS, I mean, I know that they launched it poorly and all those things. I think it's already struggling because of the other mobile markets. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's a big thing. So also, Nintendo is shipping their new Wiis without GameCube support. Is that right?
Yeah, I think this was something that started in Europe, and we're getting it over here now in the holiday season. Wiis without GameCube support, so no backwards. I can't even talk tonight. No backwards compatibility, but it's going to have a price tag of $150. So that's a pretty inexpensive way to jump in and play some games. And you know, the Wii definitely for that price point is a must buy if you don't already own one.
Yeah, who's buying Wiis though?
That's what I'm wondering. Is this just a final push to say, you know, someone buy this hardware from the warehouses because the Wii U is coming out and we've got to make room?
I was just thinking about this, and it's crazy because I haven't even thought of the Wii in months. The only game that's even remotely been on my radar is Zelda the Skyward Sword. That's it. Yeah. I mean, Oof. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know who's going to buy a Wii this Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
There could be someone. I don't know. I mean, I've on the Wii, I own a handful of games, but I've actually only beaten Mario Galaxy 1, Mario Galaxy 2, and that's it. That's all I got.
Nice. Well, that's all we have for In the News, Gooch. Let's go into your segment this week. What's been on your gaming platter?
Oh, wow. Man, I've had a pretty full platter here. I've got 21 gigs of Rage installed on my computer at the moment.
That is crazy.
It's huge. I think it's like 22 after a recent patch. The big news was, and now it's already over, but for people who didn't know, Rage released on the PC to abysmal performance issues. I mean, it had all kinds of problems with texture pop-in, loading, crashing, you name it. It had those issues, and it sucks because this is coming from id Software. These guys are granddaddies of, you know, first-person shooters on the PC. I mean, with Wolfenstein and Doom and so forth, you just did not expect this. And, you know, John Carmack throws out, you know, it's because of this, because of that, it's not our fault, it's the video card companies and the drivers, whatever. The fact of the matter is, I installed the game, and for several days, it was unplayable after release. Which sucks, because the game is fantastic. Luckily, after 2 graphics card driver updates, some minor tweaking, 1 very big patch, and a minor patch, I can actually play the game. And it looks beautiful, and it's fantastic. The bummer is, and I'm going to get a review out on the channel as soon as I can, but right now, and it's something to do with my video card, because I've read on the forums and stuff, it's blah, 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 technical jargon. Anytime I try to save the game, it crashes. I cannot save my game.
That's always nice.
Yeah, so I mean, if I shot the entire review in the course of like 6 hours and didn't stop playing the game, you know, I called off work one day, I could get it done. But it's just really annoying but I'm hoping to remedy that in the future with some hardware changes and get a Rage review out. But just to let people know, you know, if you're afraid to buy it on the PC, don't be afraid if you're running NVIDIA hardware. If you have a GeForce card, it supposedly runs much, much better on those. And, you know, if you can, get it on the console as well, because what I have played, you know, before my game crashes on me, has been really fun, really phenomenal, and I swear the game looks amazing. I know people keep saying it, you know, I cannot believe how good it looks, but I really cannot. This is sort of like a new leap forward in graphics. It's a new breath of fresh air into the current consoles, because to boot it up on an Xbox, you know, and watch it on a television, it's going to blow your mind and make you question whether or not we need a new console generation even in the next 5 years. It looks that good. So, anyway, I've done enough. I kicked Rage in the junk, and then I came back and gave it a loving hug.
Nice. Nice. Well, we'll rotate between portions here a little bit, if that's okay with you. Some news from my end. We're going to actually be on a hiatus from doing iOS reviews for a while. I sold my iPad. Can you believe it?
It's hard to believe, but I don't think you would have done it without good reason.
I just need some crack on Friday night. So, just
kidding. That's a good reason, I think, so, right?
Yes. I sold my iPad. It's Generation 1. I know I can smell the scent of Apple that they're going to be releasing the Gen 3 before long. And I just think the single-core processors, although I love the iPad, I've been using it for almost 2 years. I just think that you got to go dual core with your tablets. And so I sold it in hope that I'll be able to get an iPad 2 or 3 early next year. In the meantime, we're not done with tablet reviews altogether, because I did pre-order a Kindle Fire, which, if you don't know, it's not just an e-reader. It's an actual tablet that's just as powerful as the iPad 2. It has a dual core 1 gigahertz processors, 512 RAM. The RAM is still rumored, but that's what everyone who's seen it hands on is saying that it has. But so it's just as powerful as iPad 2. I'm pretty excited about it, because Amazon has publicly announced that they know people will be rooting it, because it has the new Android 2.3 Gingerbread. And I will definitely be rooting it and installing the marketplace and doing some sweet Android reviews in the meantime. So you can check some iOS reviews out for the future, but for now we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from that. I needed an Apple break. As much as I love them, I needed a break. So yeah, there we go.
Well, you've put out, I don't want to say countless, but definitely a ton of iOS reviews. I think you've definitely... You know, you can retire from that knowing you've put out a wealth of content and done it all very well.
Well,
you've done it justice.
Thank you. So it was the very first review we did, and we are now moving on. I mean, we'll do them some more in the future, but we're just taking a break. So there we go. What else you got for us, Gooch?
Well, like you mentioned earlier in the show, there is a new article on classicleak.com. Looks very nice and pretty with our new template. Mm-hmm. It is an article for Dark Souls. I was sitting at work today and I just took a hankering, had a hunch. I was like, man, I want to vent. I want to talk about this game. I want to kind of think about, why do I like it so much? The fact that it, you know, crushes my balls every chance it can, and I keep coming back to it like Ike and Tina. It's just, it's not right, but yet it's so right. And, you know, I wrote a little bit about it, kind of, at first, honestly, talking about it in the opening paragraph, I'm thinking, why do I like this game? Everything I talk about it makes it sound horrible. And then as I go on, you know, you can read the article, I come to realize why I like it so much. I love this game. I did not get as heavily invested in Demon Souls, you know, the prequel, as it were. But this game here, I think it's fantastic. I really, really like it. It's got a big open world structure. It's got beautiful graphics. It's got fantastic music and sound. The combat's a lot of fun. It's very deep, and you have to be very cautious in every move you make. And I can't stop playing it. I mean, I came home from work on my lunch maybe like 3 days ago, and played the game. Even though I could only play for 15 minutes, I was jonesing that bad.
That's amazing.
And here's the funny thing is, this makes me sad when I think about it. I did all this progress and then go back and save my game at a bonfire, the checkpoint system.
Yeah.
So when I come home that evening, all the enemies have respawned, because that's what happens every time you go to a checkpoint, all the enemies respawn. So I kind of didn't really make any progress. I mean, I got souls, which count as experience and currency, but as far as, like, getting any further within the game itself, as far as beating a boss or anything, nothing. Did nothing of the sort. Played through the same area that I've played through 1,000 times.
Nice.
But, oh, man, it's so great, because there's, and what I love about this kind of game is, and I'll quit rambling after this, but it's so old school in the way that no one knows exactly what's going on in this game. There are rumors and speculation and so much stuff going on with word of mouth. You know, like, I heard if you do this and this and this, this happens. And I heard if this boss and it's nighttime out and blah, 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 you can get this weapon. It's like playing Castlevania 2 on the NES when I was a kid. You know, we're talking about, you know, what do we do if we do this and this, and how do we do this? It's just, it's so neat not to know anything about a game.
Yeah.
And to just be trying stuff. I mean, I'll try one trick for like an hour and nothing happens. And then I'll take a hunch and try something on my own. And holy crap, I got an amazing weapon.
Oh my gosh.
And then I get to tell someone else about it. And then they're pumped. And I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I think.
So it is that kind of game where you can just kind of like just keep plugging back at it and allows some creativity in there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And progress as well. I mean, with the way the checkpoints work in this game, and compared to Demon Souls, where you kept going back to the hub world, like you'd save your game and go back to the hub where you could buy and sell things. The minute you go back out into the world, you have to start all over in that level. There are kind of checkpoints, but nothing like in Dark Souls, where it's a giant open world. And you know, I make it to that castle off in the distance. There's a bonfire in it. Save my game. If I die, I go back there.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like Castlevania in that way, that there are certain save rooms I can go to. And then I keep opening up shortcuts all over the place as I'm playing, you know. And then the cool thing is there's like an optional boss, you know. Like if you venture off down this path that you don't need to go down, you can, you know, kick this giant thing in the teeth. You know, it might take you 3 hours, but if you take it down, then you open up a shortcut that might save you 30 minutes in traveling around the map. Completely optional. You never have to do it. Has no story relevance. It's just neat things like that I love about this game. And I mean, I've got like 6 or 8 hours in, and I probably won't beat it, but I'll be playing this probably until Skyrim comes out.
Well, that's I'm so excited about Skyrim. But you know, I mentioned last week Dark Souls is that kind of game I'm just going to avoid. It just looks too hard for me, and that's rare for me to say that, but it's not hard in like an NES kind of game type way. It's just I just don't want to sit there and spend the time on it. But I'm afraid what happened to you would happen to me, that I'd probably get addicted to it and not want to put it down. So, but yeah, I hope you can put some gameplay video of that up. I've watched a ton of videos on Dark Souls just because it intrigues me, and man, it just looks like just such an intricate game. It just looks really amazing. So the developers did well with it.
Yeah, and I hope to get some videos out soon. I've been trying to get some on the PC, you know, recording some gameplay footage, because I don't want to do a review on it because I couldn't do it justice, but to do just random gameplay, and you guys can hear me swear and curse into a microphone as I die repeatedly, but I can't get enough of it. And maybe something will spark. Maybe you'll at least rent the game or give it a shot, or I'll mail it your way once I've had my fill. And you can, you know, give it a stab, because I think it's something that everyone needs to at least experience, just to kind of get a taste and see what they've accomplished with this game, because it really is something special, and not in a generic way. I'm not saying that just because, for whatever reason, that, you know, it's amazing. No, it's just, it's something that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Yeah. Dude, that is so amazing. Man, so tempting. Maybe someday on the bargain shelf I'll pick it up. So.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, crap. I don't know. Switching a little bit of gear again. Grand Theft Auto 3. We're not talking about retro gaming here. I'm just saying Grand Theft Auto 3 will be re-released soon on portable devices to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of the game. Can you believe it's been 10 years already, Gooch?
Yeah, it blows my mind. It seems like, I mean, just yesterday we were playing it on PS2 and we were blown away.
The game was so far ahead of its time. So,
oh, absolutely. So much influence. I mean, so many games have borrowed from it since then.
Yeah. Interesting that Rockstar would release it on the iPhone, iPad, and certain Android devices. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I mean, I seen there's like a statue, and it's a real big deal. I mean, there's like collector's items you can get. Yeah,
it's actually smart because so many people have those devices already. I mean, it's intelligent on their part. They've also proven that they can do the controls well in the device. I mean, I remember when Chinatown Wars came out for the DS, and I was a fan of the original Grand Theft Auto and Grand Theft Auto 2, the top-down view games, and I remember playing those on PC when I was young. And so when Chinatown Wars came out for the DS, I was pumped, you know, but I didn't have a DS at the time. And so as soon as I got an iPad, I bought the HD version on the iPad, and it was amazing to play. I mean, it was really good. So they definitely can do it on the devices. I was just surprised that those were the only devices they were releasing it on. So I don't know. I would think they might do like an Xbox Live Arcade PlayStation Network release, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you definitely would think they would. I mean, but then again, I mean, with the way Sony's wanting to do their PS2 releases, and Microsoft has the, I think they have like San Andreas that you can buy as a game on demand.
Yeah, I guess that's true too. It's like you can just buy the games, you know, because I guess you can just play. You can still play on the 360 GTA 3. So it's practically the only devices left that you can't get the game on. So
how much of it's going to be, I wonder? I mean, is this going to be a premium, like, $12 game? Or are they going to release it for, like, $5 or a buck?
I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine GTA 3 a dollar?
I don't know. It's now, the kicker is it's only playing on the high-end devices. So they must be wanting it to run extremely well. And I've even started to notice it's another reason I'm selling the iPad 1 is because I've started to notice like games like Shadowgun, I have to clear out all the memory on the iPad, can't have any other apps running or else it'll crash, you know? And it's just because they're definitely starting to build those games to be more, you know, stronger on the dual core devices. So, I think the iPhone 4, even though it's not dual core, then the iPad 2, and then only they have a list on the Rockstar website of only the certain Android devices that'll run it. So I'm kind of hoping the Kindle Fire that's rooted will run it. So we'll see. I love Grand Theft Auto 3, man.
So good. Running over hookers, shooting police. Sluts.
Yeah.
Sluts.
Oh, Beavis and Butthead, gotta love them. So, what else you got for us, Gooch?
Well, just as a little note, I wanted to mention that I got, I mean, we're talking about getting rid of, you know, the iPad and everything and moving on, but I downloaded iOS 5 on my phone over the weekend, and I just wanted to mention a couple things about it. I'm impressed. I really like what they've done here, but it's funny, like, a lot of the features I'm seeing in this, you know, update are things that I seen on my ex-girlfriend had a Samsung Galaxy S, so that's an Android phone. A lot of the features that were on her phone are in iOS 5. Like, they borrowed this sort of like slide down notification feature. The way they do their video app now is separate, and the way the notifications pop up on the screen, where you can actually set it so if I have if I have like maybe two or three text messages at once and my phone is locked, normally you used to slide your finger on the bottom of the phone, it unlocks the phone, and then you would have to go pick whichever message you wanted to address or the most recent message. That's what you would look at. Well, now when you get the notification, it pops up like bars like on your screen, and you'll have like three line items on your phone, and you could slide whichever message you want to address. You can just hit whichever one. Or, you know, if it's something else, it could be an email or anything, it will open that application directly.
Okay.
And these are things that were on my ex-girlfriend's Android phone. I mean, it's people are raving about it, but it really seems like they've borrowed a lot from these other phones. I mean, these other, you know, operating systems.
Yeah.
And everyone's raving about it, but I'm kind of like, guys, it's not really anything innovative.
Yeah, here. And that's just the way it goes. I don't know how to respond to that. So it's.
I mean, I like it. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, like, it's not worthy of any praise.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, yeah.
And it took me an hour to do it, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Oh yeah, it took me. It took me an hour as well. I put it on the iPad. So, yeah, it was interesting. So. Okay, well, anyways, the iOS 5 has been released officially, so you can download that for free from Apple, which is, it's nice. It's got some good updates. I think you definitely want to put it on your device, unless you're one of those people that has it hacked, then, you know, you're probably still running iOS 3, and I don't know, so.
But if you want to play games, like, it's crucial if you want to keep up on, you know, new games and stuff that you have the latest iOS if you want updates.
Yes.
Obviously, if you're playing games legally, let me throw that out there. If you're playing games illegally, whatever, you know.
Well, I hate that when people on my, it's so funny, people on our YouTube videos, when we put out iOS YouTube videos, they're like, download this game for free. All you have to do is hack your device. I'm like, okay, thanks for putting that comment on my video.
But yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, last bit of news is that Batman Arkham City was finally released this week to rave reviews, crazy rave reviews. I mean, have you seen some of these reviews, Gooch? Like 9.5, 9.7, a couple people gave it 10s.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, and I couldn't believe it because, I mean, our Arkham Asylum was pure crap.
Yes.
No, sorry, total lie. Yeah, I mean, totally living up to the legacy that Rocksteady set with the original game. I mean, this is just amazing, and I can't wait to play it. I'm jonesing for some, you know, new Batman action.
Well, it's nice because we have it on OnLive, which it comes out in 2 weeks on OnLive. It's a little bit delayed, but we'll be able to play it on there, man.
Yeah, oh, looking forward to it, man. I'm not gonna to jump on that one too quick. You got to beat it first.
No, dude. No, we'll get through it together. So. It'll be cool, man. We'll all chip into it. It'll be fun. So, awesome. Yeah, Batman Arkham City, pick that one up. You can get it on Live. It comes out, I think, in a week or so on Live, and then you can get it on consoles and I think PC already. Nope, the PC one is delayed. That's why the online one's delayed. So, but you can pick it up on consoles right now. Game looks freaking amazing. Can't wait to play it. So. That's it, man. I think we're heading into the deal of the week portion, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I scavenged up a couple deals here this week. I didn't know if you had anything that you found, but, you know, a couple good ones out there. Like Deus Ex, Human Revolution. You like that game, right?
I do like it.
How would you say, or what would you say about paying only $37.47 for that game?
I would say
good deal.
Good deal.
Yes, it's a great deal. Over at gamersgate.com, it is 41% off.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, go over there, get the PC copy of the game, save you some money. Fantastic.
You don't have to worry about buying it at GameStop then.
Yeah, they're not going to steal your online code, the bastards.
So, freaking GameStop. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Deus Ex, that's a great sale. Also, I wanted to mention that OnLive, our new partners here, we love OnLive, they are offering the last of their summer sales, which are called the $5 Fridays, this week, actually. So they had been all summer offering a full version game you could purchase for $5 to play through OnLive on your PC or the OnLive game console. This week, to close out the summer sale, every day of the week they're having a different game for $5. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yes, that is awesome. I've heard, you know, before that we started working with, you know, OnLive, that they had really good sales. I mean, people would say, you know, say what you will about them, the service is great, and maybe, you know, they're still building up their game library. But what they do have, like the games that are available, are fantastic, and you can get amazing deals on them, like you're saying, the $5 Fridays.
Yes.
So, yeah. Oh man, I got one more to mention real quick because we haven't said anything about J2 games in a while. I was kind of going through their games, you know, seeing, you know, looking for myself personally, thinking about what I might want to pick up here in the near future. And I noticed, it's too bad that I already own it, but they had Heavy Rain on PlayStation 3, $16.
Dude, one of my freaking favorite games. I love that game.
I think it's a good deal.
Well, Heavy Rain, yeah, $16. And if you use the code CLEET, that's CL337, you get 20% off. That's our show code. Jay over at J2 Games, a really good guy. Really, you know, takes care of people and takes care of his customers. Only sells the highest quality games. And so, yeah, most of the games you get over at J2 Games, you're going to get a box, you're going to get a manual, things like that. And he actually lists that out for collectors. This guy has everything from, I mean, Clearback. I think he has Vectrex games. And, man, all the way to modern consoles. So Heavy Rain, $16, plus you get 20% off using the code CLEET, something you definitely want to do. So that is it for our deals of the week. We got Deus Ex at Gamersgate for $37. We got Heavy Rain for $16. And then we also had the $5 Fridays going on for the final week this week over at OnLive.com. What do we got for the jukebox break, Gooch?
Well, the song for this week, I have no idea. I'm not sure. We didn't even really discuss we're going to do one for this week. That's usually DB's section, and where that bastard is MIA, he leaves it up to us to come up with these audio tracks. Man, you're making it hard on us. We are untrained ears.
We'll do it, though. We'll cover for you this week. So,
so we're going to throw in a song this week. But if you want to know the song from last week, it was Mega Man 2, the Woodman theme. Okay. And why he picked Woodman, you can read into those lines all you want.
Morning, Wood.
You ever hear that Rodney Carrington song called Morning Wood?
No, I don't care to.
Oh, it's so great. He's like, it's like wood, 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 morning wood. He's like, I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling good. And he said something, morning wood. it's comedy genius at its lowest, you know, form.
The Gooch, everyone. The Gooch.
Bringing the show down. One honorary statement at a time.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, that's it for Jukebox Break. We also have the mailbag, and I think Classic Leap Mail is pretty slim right now, but Gucci has something that was written into the GNDB podcast, right? Which is the Classic Leap podcast, just written into the GNDB website. So.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, if people still write into GoochandTheDouchebag@gmail.com, we're going to keep checking it. I mean, obviously, we're still poking around there, talking to various people and fans of the previous show and fans of the show. But, British Steel wrote in a comment to episode 67. He says, in response to the cloud gaming question, I am never, quote, the first kid on the block to get anything simply because I'm afraid of dumping hundreds of dollars on a format only to have it discontinued in 3 months. I am always one of those, quote, late to adopt consumers when it comes to new tech. For example, remember when people lined up around city blocks in order to buy from the first shipment of iPhones on launch day? He says, I'm buying one next month after 2 years of deliberating and bitching about, do I really need this when I have a laptop with wireless internet? as well such, put. I'm not. Yes. I'm not entirely sold on the concept of cloud gaming because it's still in its infancy, and I'm confident with my, or excuse me, I'm content with my consoles. If it really picks up and I have the means to connect with friends to play online multiplayer, then I will get it and use it as much as I can, but I'm going to sit on the fence for a while until the grass gets green enough. Mm. Regards, British Steel.
British Steel, the man. Wow.
Yeah, well written. I gotta say, this cloud-based gaming, though, as far as cloud-based game saves work with Steam, fantastic. As far as cloud-based gaming goes with OnLive, you know, I've experienced it for myself, and it blows my mind. It works so well. They've really created something special here. I mean, and I can't imagine what it will look like in 10 years. I mean, I can't believe they're doing it today and 10 years from now. I mean, who knows what they can accomplish with cloud-based technology.
Oh, yeah, I'm really impressed with it. So I think it's cool that we've kind of built a relationship with OnLive. It'll be cool to be reviewing some games for them as well. So I've almost got the Warhammer review done, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That is awesome. You're killing some orcs with a K? Yeah.
Yes, and it's... I'm hoping it doesn't stay as repetitive as it has. So
that's a bummer, but man, you're a giant 9 foot tall monster of a man with space armor and a chainsaw sword. I mean, even at the repetition, I mean, you're still doing awesome stuff.
Oh, it's still freaking fun, I have to say. So it is still nice. Very fun. So anyways, I think that's it for the mailbag and pretty much it for episode 69, correct?
Yeah, short show this week.
It's all right.
We're holding down the fort.
It happens sometimes, you know. Sometimes we do 40 minutes. Sometimes we do an hour and a half. It just depends. So, anyways, we want to shout out to all of our sponsors and partners of the Classic League podcast. We love you all. Hapog.com. That is Hapog.com. Hapog Computer Works, making the best in high-definition capture devices. We use the Hapog HD PVR and Hapog Colossus on our show to use our high definition or to shoot our high definition videos for our reviews, and we love doing that. Also, want to give a shout out to GamersGate.com, literally the best digital content PC service out there. You definitely want to check out GamersGate.com and buy your PC games on there. Glitched Out, that's glitched-out, which I always have a hard time saying, is a great media hub for several of our close podcasting friends, started by our friend The Half-Blind Gamer and also Critical Failure in on that. Glitched Out's a great place to go to check out the latest gaming videos, news, and articles. Our friends at Got Game, we are now an official featured partner of Got Game. We are on there with all of our podcasts, all our reviews, oftentimes featured on the homepage slider. The guys that Got Game just became corporate YouTube partners and also,
wow,
also have been long time, oh, what's the name of the other site where you can host videos? Blip.
Blip, yeah.
They do lots of stuff with Blip as well. So Got Game is a huge site, tons of great shows and content. Make sure you check out gotgame.com. Also, j2games.com. Jay, we love Jay over at J2 Games. Use the code CL337 at checkout to get 20% off your order. And then, of course, our newest partnership, OnLive, the cloud-based gaming service. Definitely want to check that out. Great console. You can see our review up. And then also some really amazing digital delivery games from OnLive. We also are going to be announcing some PC hardware partnerships coming up soon. Can't mention anything about it yet, but we're pretty excited about it, right, Gooch?
I think excited is a massive understatement. I'm literally ecstatic. Yes,
and we'll have more on that in the coming weeks. So I think that's it for episode 69. Gooch, you have anything else?
Nothing really. I don't have any snarky audio clips to play, but I got to say, again, it was a lot of fun to record with you, man. Look forward to posting this episode and, you know, recording the next one and on up to 100.
Always fun, my friend. This is Tony and the Gooch signing out. Episode 69 of the Classic League Gaming and Electronic Podcast, the best of gaming news, interviews, and reviews.